You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Much for listening to the podcast. In the first episode, we talk about the convention, the U.S. Soccer Coaches Convention. We were on podcast row. We had some amazing interviews. You're going to hear all about them. Plus, the airport trip on the way back. Wow, it got litty. We went a little viral.
A-O-C. A-O-C. And in the second segment, we are joined by Melissa Ortiz, who played for the Colombian women's national team, a parcera on the show, talking about not only how good she is at soccer, but how she also she might replace the Cooligans one day. Who knows? Who knows? So all this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah! Let's go!
Come on!
Back from Chicago!
Son! We only hang out with celebrities now.
You know, this is a very different podcast.
That's
okay?
It.
We're two different people, okay? This podcast belongs on MSNBC, all right?
My guy, SNBC. If you're wondering, will success change the Cooligans? Yes, it will.
Of course.
Yo, we actively change in front of you right now.
New podcast. Who this?
Yeah. We don't know you, man. We didn't go to school with you. We're not friends with you, dog.
You ain't my mother, but I am. I gave birth to you. No, you ain't.
Nah, son. You know what gave birth to me? The streets.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. Yes. This is a soccer podcast. I promise. We will get to
it. Yeah, no, it is.
It is. But this the world is more than just soccer. Even though it isn't, it is a little bit.
I mean, soccer is in everything. Is in everything, I'm saying.
That's exactly it. Well put, Alexis Guerrero. And look, that's why you listen to a podcast with two stand-up comedians who talk about soccer, because you're not here for just all the little, percentage, all right?
Let me tell you what I thought of this win.
You're here for the high joke percentage, okay? Because there's no other podcast with such a high rate of jokes.
That's our XJ, our expected jokes per episode. Much higher than everyone else.
Okay, get Ben Bear in here to get all the stats, all right?
Right? Where is he? Where's Matt Doyle? Break it down for everybody.
Welcome to the Cooligans. Yeah, we are excited. We have so much to talk about.
There's a lot. Look, it's the off season.
It's the off season. It's the craziest part of the year so far.
It's a wildness.
During the summer.
It's almost like the games don't matter. This is it. This is what it's all about.
Towards the playoffs, when the MLS playoffs are winding down, when just soccer's going, American soccer's just kind of just quieting off, I have that mentality. I'm like, yo, Alex, what are we going to do during the offseason? Because nothing happened. Nothing's going on.
Yeah. What are we going to do? We're still going to do episodes. What are we going to possibly talk about?
What are we going to talk about? We're going to have to fill it in with a lot of and then.
And then the gods of soccer were like, hey, yo, we got you, fam. And we all know the gods of soccer are David Beckham's abs and Alan Gordon's junk in his shoe.
Okay. Yeah.
And Zlatan Ibrahimovic's ego. Those three.
Boom.
Form into one, and that's the gods of soccer.
So yes, we have so much to recap, especially about the United Soccer Coaches Convention, because I think while a lot of people were just going to their soccer seminars and learning all the stuff, we were having it was just madness for the Cooligans.
It was, I don't think we've ever experienced something like that as a podcast. Where it was like Justin Bieber showing up at a mall.
Okay. People were going crazy. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians that are at the top of Madison Square Garden recording at the Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17. And this is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you're ever going to listen to. This is also what, Alexis?
as per AOC, it's the damn gulliest soccer podcast.
That is right. We only associate ourselves with the gulliest of politicians out here in New York. So,
and look, to everyone who doesn't agree with her 100%, I don't care if it's zero, I don't care if it's 100. There's one or two things she said where I'm like, yo, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I like this girl's, you know, the way she manages herself and the way she handles herself. That's exactly how my sister would do it. And that reminded me of family. All we did was take a picture with a politician who's trying to care about people. And yeah. the mentions went insane. A lot more positive than negative.
Yes.
Which I like.
Yeah, there was a lot of positivity. Look,
we got a lot of Russian bots.
We got a lot of. Look, and I, as someone who has been tweeted at by New York Times White House correspondent Maggie Haberman.
For no reason.
For no reason whatsoever.
It was like a tweet about Trump, and then at the end it was like, thank you, Chris Blanco.
Excuse me?
She has yet to answer why that was. Reason.
Tweet is still up. Makes no sense. And had all these Russian MAGA bots attacking me because they hate her.
Dude, MAGA bots sounds like a terrible kids cartoon. MAGA bots.
Built that wall.
They're coming to take away the brown people, MAGA bots.
No, shut that off.
Yo, that's why is that on BBS?
But no, we'll talk about that in a second. We usually start the show always by shouting out the people who show us love. Speaking of positive comments, we always get a lot of love and a lot of reviews on iTunes, and we love them. We're trying to get to 400. We're currently at 343.
Yo, you may not think this is the funniest soccer podcast in the world. Maybe. I don't know. You hit your head or something.
Yeah.
But it is unequivocal that we have the funniest reviews.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
We got to give it up to people. So here, this is a review that said. So speaking of good reviews and positive reviews, this is two in one, right? So we have a double whammy here.
Is this the concise one?
No, it's not concise at all. So they said. So this is from Sagar Shrig. Shriram Agiri. Hopefully I said that correctly, but I wanted to try my best. So by Sagar, he goes, acquired taste. This is the subject. All right. Okay.
Okay.
It's an acquired taste. Five stars though.
So is soda. So is, coffee.
Yeah. You have to warm up to things occasionally.
That's fine. Beer.
So Sagar says, I admit, for about 3 months since their summer tour, I tried liking Cooligans, and I couldn't.
Oh, no. Which, by the way, I hear there's ointments for that. Okay. We're going to cure that finally.
So he says, but you're welcome, Alexis and Christian. I persisted. All right, good. Female politicians, they must persist.
They must persist.
Exactly, right? So he says, like a cough medicine, like a very different and exotic beer, like a food that looks weird in a weird foreign country. And over a period of, quote, why am I listening to this? Boom. You start loving this, whatever it is, the Cooligans podcast. What makes you love it, you ask? You got to find out for yourself. Why I like Cooligans, and he says in parentheses, my autocorrect keeps asking me to make it Cooligans. Well, yo, Siri, fix that, right? So he goes,
the damn dude just fell in love with a Siri.
leave him alone. And he says, you got to find out for yourself. Why
maybe you are the kind that loves slightly ugly things in life.
Like a slightly dirty park, the New York subway, or a piece of crumbled nothing art. Cooligans is that.
This is the most disrespectful five stars.
I gotta say, look, Sagar, I for the first like three sentences, I really tried liking your review. Yeah. But I really couldn't.
Over time.
It took me a while, but your review was an acquired taste. By the end of it, I'm like, hey, I see why people consume these reviews.
This is also sounds like the dialogue of a movie where they ask a mother why she still loves her son who committed murders. You know, it's like, look, I understand everyone gets him.
Nobody gets him.
But he's mine.
he's just so misunderstood. Yeah. So thank you, Sagar, for the review. We appreciate it.
A piece of crumbled nothing art.
Well, what piece of trash on the street that you pick up and you're like, oh, it's the golden ticket to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
I'm going
to
keep this forever, even though Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory closed years ago because of all the child deaths. Well, I have one that answers Sagar. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. This is the one I'm going to read. It's made by Pixel Reviews Games. Okay. Shouts to Pixel. Title is The Gulliest Show There Is.
All right.
And the review, This show is so gully. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's so gully.
Insanity.
Yo, it's wild.
People listen to one episode and they got to go to a hospital. Yeah, a psychiatric ward. Okay?
Maybe that's what it is. Sagar is more prepared for the gulliness, so he doesn't see it just yet, but he knows he loves it.
So, all right. You know, this is, you know, Cooligans is long term, all right? This ain't.
Yeah, it's all about a long game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is a marathon, not a sprint.
So,
it's a Verizon, not a sprint.
So thank you for taking those 3 months necessary to get on board and fall in love. And sometimes people fall in love like our head over heels, love at first sight. That's not always the case.
Nah.
You know, but sometimes it takes a little bit.
It takes some time, yo. We'll be right here waiting.
We had to earn your trust, but now
we'll be right here waiting for you.
So
wherever you go.
Well, so let's
you get, never sing along with me, man.
I don't. You're a terrible singer.
Me? I know. That's why I need people to join in.
Also, karaoke. My voice is completely shot.
Voices are both gone.
I don't really sound. I sound like Alexis Guerrero's right now. That's what
I actually got to save mine. I got a voiceover to do tomorrow. I gotta say, well, whatever. This is what they're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
So we did spend 4 days in Chicago for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. So let's, if you don't
By
know.
By the way, my wife said, hey, your voice is gone. Is it because you were partying so much?
That was always, yeah. That would be the concern. You'd be like, hey, well, you're having a lot of good time. You weren't doing too many Instagram stories, so I feel like you're betraying me.
Right,
okay.
Maybe you were out there partying with a bunch of these, you know, thots. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And the truth is, Alexi Lalas is a bit of a thot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a soccer thot.
All right. He's like a little thick in the hips.
Yeah,
all right.
You know what I mean?
I feel it.
He got his ideas are loose.
Okay.
Yo, we must have
had. And he shares them with everybody.
Everybody gets all it. Right? It's a little much. I think your ideas got HPV, my guy. The truth is, yo, you and I must have had each 120 to 150 conversations.
We spoke to so many people. We did the podcast interviews. We had to bring enthusiasm and energy to every conversation.
To what is a traditionally a great conference or a convention, but can be a bit dull because the people who go, they're soccer coaches. You know what I mean? They're not.
You know, you're not. When you look back and you think about all your soccer coaches that you've had in your life, you don't go back and be like, man,
that dude was a party.
Yo, I really wish I could have just like gotten real lit with Coach Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. Old Coach Steve really brought out the party animal in me.
No, that's not what it is. It's
they're very authoritative
for a lot of coaches
and women.
It's very much a business trip for a lot of the coaches.
Until about like 5 o'clock, and then some of them get a little wild.
All right, okay? We're going to have a good time, right? A
lot of dudes whose ring fingers got an indent, but nothing on it.
Nah, man, it was incredible.
For us, it was almost like we were a booth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were presenting ourselves.
So, and just to explain for people who don't know, the majority of people listening to this are probably not going to go to a soccer convention.
Wouldn't suggest it.
No, it's
a blast.
If you are involved in soccer or if the convention is in your city, it is like a really cool thing to go check out because one, there's a bunch of soccer celebrities there. There's players. You can you can see them either like see them at seminars. If you are a coach and want to hear about coaching or something. If there's a big exhibit hall with like a lot of brands that work in soccer, then you can get to know more about them. You can buy some gear.
The draft.
And MLS draft happens.
Yeah. And by the way, a day pass is $10. Dude, I mean, if you got like a day, if it's in your city, next year it's going to be Baltimore. Are we allowed to say that?
I actually don't even know where it's going to be.
It is. It is Baltimore. Like, yo, you live in Baltimore and you've always wanted to meet some MLS players and some, you know, famous World Cup stars and you want to meet some amazing NWSL players. I heard about a bunch of young girls that bought day passes just to meet Allie Krieger.
That's right.
Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, yo, you wanted the $10. You waste $10 on some dumbass, you know, Kappa Frappa thingy, you know what I mean, with the whipped cream. Yo, go meet some stars. And they got swag everywhere. You get, like, free shirts, and you get to play these dope games that are coming out. And maybe you could put yourself inside the soccer box and figure out what the hell that thing does. You know, any of those things. You get to experience all that. It's a blast. If you like soccer, I mean, you're not going to go to the classes, but the convention hall, that's dope.
Yeah, so that's kind of what all of this is. But and to be clear, it's not meant to be.
It's not SoccerCon.
Yeah, it's not a festive thing per se. There's fun things to do there.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's not exactly how it's billed or sold.
Not at all.
But when the Cooligans are there.
Oh, we bring the fun.
We bring some heat out there because it was.
We bring the fun and the lack of fundamentals.
Okay. Let's just rattle off how many. Who did we meet? And just.
Son, top of the heap, though. Your boy Jermaine Jones.
Jermaine Jones, who
when
we
you hear this interview.
When you hear this interview, you're gonna lose.
The world might stop spinning. Yo, I suggest you put your favorite, you strap your favorite stuff down to the ground. Cause I'm not kidding. When you hear, all I'm gonna say is, did we talk about everything? Well, I'll tell you, we asked about all of it.
Yeah.
And he talked about all of it. And you know how we do interviews. We're not like these ESPN pros that ask a question, let him answer, and move on to our next question. Bro, we ain't got no other questions. We going to go right to it. What? I'm sorry, did you just say this?
All right. Can you really just elaborate on that part a little bit?
We're going to dig in a little deep.
We're a little curious about this restraining order.
Yeah, that you just brought up on your own. Son, when you hear this interview, you're going to think that boy needs a publicist. He needs someone to lean over and put his hand over the mic and whisper in his ear, maybe you shouldn't do this.
So look, that is coming soon, and we're gonna have some fun with it to really tease it a little bit. But
we're gonna break it down the way Total Soccer Show breaks down a game.
Yes, all right. We're gonna use all the skills that we've acquired in these last couple of years doing a soccer show to really make this absolutely perfect, because it was
an 100%
incredible conversation. But not only Jermaine Jones, Ali Krieger, who we had an incredible conversation with that you're going to love when we put that out. Kyle Martino, that another really in-depth conversation about U.S. soccer that blew my mind as well. Who else? Alexi Lalas.
Kyle Martino, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Ali Krieger, we mentioned. Kevin Payne. That's going to be a special one.
Yeah, Kevin Payne. We interviewed a U.S. soccer executive.
From back in the day.
OG. That was, you know.
And if you are a U.S. soccer conspiracy theorist, well, then you're going to start to feel a little right by the end of that interview. You're going to be like, I told you to put on that foil hat.
Exactly, right?
Who else? We had others.
Dustin Brandon from Talisman Caps.
Dustin Brandon from Talisman Caps, who's such a great sport.
Yeah.
Never done a podcast.
It was great.
And it was ours.
Super, super fun.
The next podcast is going to do is like, man, you guys aren't roasting me at all. You guys are just asking me questions.
The roast of Dustin Brandon.
It really is. If you love Talisman Caps, you got to listen to this. I know you all do.
We're both rocking Talisman Caps right now. Yael Averbush.
Great interview.
Seattle Reign. Also the president of the NWSL Players Union.
And Technet Football.
We talked a great conversation with her as well. Really, really, there was a couple others I can't
remember. Edgewater.
Edgewater Castle.
Which I'm wearing right now. Edgewater Castle.
Shout out to Andrew.
Which is a semi-pro team just for immigrants and refugees, which is so dope.
Exactly. Super, super cool. So, amazing. The next couple weeks, the Cooligans podcast is, I honestly believe, and I'm not saying, I know we joke around about being, you know, the best of this or the funniest of that or whatever. I honestly believe the funniest soccer interviews that you've ever heard are going to be coming from us in the next couple weeks that you're going to be hearing them.
In fact, that's a challenge. If you've ever heard a funnier soccer podcast interview or just soccer media interview, if I'm being honest. Bro, you need to link it to us, okay? Because I guarantee you, just Ali Krieger alone, that girl got chops, man. Yeah, that's the funniest interview we've ever done.
Yeah, she was.
She was amazing.
Like, I mean, she's funnier than comedians I know. That's how funny she is.
By far.
Yeah.
She shouldn't even open mic. Get on stage at a real club.
Hilarious. And that's why you listen to the show. This is a comedy show about soccer. We're not here to be accurate about stats or whatever.
Never.
We make mistakes.
The only stat we know is XJ. Expected jokes. And honestly, I don't think there's anyone else. I don't think there's another show. And I'm sorry if I'm going to pat myself on the back, toot my own horn. Maybe you won't hear any music if you don't do it for yourself. There's no other interviewers in this game that could do what we did with these folks.
Okay.
That could get that personality out.
Right.
What are you going to ask Ali Krieger the same 7 questions? We didn't even ask her if she thinks she's going to get to 100 caps. We didn't even ask. We couldn't even get to it. That's how great the interview was.
Yeah.
We asked her like 2 questions about the World Cup. 2.
But it's one of the best interviews you're ever going to hear. It's so funny. So let's recap a couple things that happened in general, especially when we got back from Chicago.
Just airport.
All right.
Keep our eyes wide.
Look, if you're listening to this, maybe this might be the first time you're listening to us, and you're like, "Hey, I saw a tweet."
Yeah.
From a particular politician.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What is this?"
And it was replying to these two very handsome. Which, by the way, your boy wore the shirt.
Okay.
Just in honor.
Okay.
When we talk about Gully, Gully is not just hardcore. It's just someone who stands up for themselves as well.
Yeah.
And I saw a politician walk by as you and I were waiting to get picked up at the airport, picked up by our livery driver, our black car driver. We hired a driver.
Yes, my girlfriend.
Yeah, your girlfriend. I sat with my luggage on my lap. You know what I mean? Wasn't mad special. But, your girlfriend picked us up while we were waiting for her. I saw someone walk by.
Yeah.
I think you were looking at your phone, communicating with your girlfriend.
Yeah, well, I was, and my back was to her.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, you're... And in that moment,
I took
all three of her names escaped my mind. Just gone. And I was like, in my head, I was like, is it Gutierrez? Because I'm like, I know it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound right.
And names are not your strength.
First of all, I would even say it's my weakness. But I knew who she was, and I do know her name, and just in that moment, I couldn't. And I don't get starstruck ever. And this is one of the moments where I did, because I looked at her, and I was like, wait a minute. Holy shit. You're like a good politician. Right?
And then, so I turn around, and because you're shocked.
And also, she looked at me like, yeah, it's me, I know. Like, that kind of thing. So I knew it was, because she does look a little different on TV. She didn't have, like, her hair and makeup done. She was just walking by, regular clothing.
Yeah.
Just trying to get through a very busy airport because of the whole stupid fucking shutdown.
Yeah.
So, and you go, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's like, yeah. And I high-fived her. We had, like, a quick conversation with her. We thanked her for, you know, just keeping it real, keeping it BX, wearing the red lipstick and the hoops.
Yeah.
You know, at the swearing in. All right.
Yeah. So I saw her and I'm a huge fan. I absolutely admire her. She's like, we're close in age, right? The level of bravery to be that type of person in that arena.
Right.
I'm like, so it's easy to admire a person like that.
Yeah.
And I saw her.
Even if you don't agree, just the fact that her come up is
exactly
incredible.
And, but I saw her and I was I can physically remember, I have that muscle memory of that feeling where I was genuinely starstruck.
You know, the cartoon where I think it's like I don't know what animal it is. They have their legs and arms close to their body, and their hands and their feet flap, and they float up a little bit. That's big. I had to pull Christian down from the stratosphere.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I couldn't even, I said her name, and then I couldn't, to her.
The funny thing is, you just yelled out her name in the middle of a conversation. I was like, yo, thank you so much. And here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
You were talking to her, you were saying, you were complimenting her about a bunch of stuff, and I like, couldn't speak.
Yeah.
I've never felt that way in my life.
You know what sound you were making? You were just going, that is 100% true. I can hear that in my background. I'm like, all right, well, Christian's buffering. So I'll keep the conversation going.
Dude, I might as well have been like a little boy.
Yeah.
With meeting his crush. You know what I mean? But I couldn't speak.
Yeah.
Literally, I was just like, get out of here. This is crazy.
Yeah, you were just, in your head, you were like, say something.
They got to say a word. But no, man. So that happened. We got to take a photo.
But, you know, I did say, yo, you know the term gully? And she's like, of course. And in my head, I'm like, of course you know it. You're from Bronx. I was like, yo, you're the gulliest congresswoman ever. And then I was like, let's give her a shirt.
Yeah.
And by the way, we had just like 4 or 5 of these like red bags with us,
which
just loaded with a bunch of different sizes of these gulliest shirts. We had merch over at the conference. So I'm just like, oh, it's going to take forever. She's going to have to go. And out of nowhere, I realized, wait a minute, there's a small that's just folded by itself right on top.
Yeah.
And I pulled that out. I handed it to her. I'm like, yo, you take a quick picture. She took a picture with us, took a picture with the shirt. It was wild.
It was crazy. The fact that, and we also, you asked her, you were like, yo, you like soccer? She was like, yeah, I like soccer.
Yeah. She's like, I can't follow it too much, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things. As soon as she said, I like soccer, I was just like, you know how that thing in your
Christian
head,
floated away again.
I
get back here.
I died. I needed to be resuscitated after she said that.
I pulled his soul back into his body.
But no, once she said that, that thing goes off in your mind of like, oh, she's a politician. She has to like, oh, you can't trust a politician. Yeah. But I was just like, yeah, she does. She's the biggest soccer fan I've ever met.
Yeah, that's it. Want to be on our podcast as a host?
Oh my goodness. That was a great experience. But she took the photo.
Yeah.
We posted it.
Yeah. You posted something. I posted something. We posted from the Cooligans thing right away. Mine, she responded to.
Yes.
And I think it's because I said I gave her a shirt. And she started getting a little comments from, hey, you're not supposed to accept gifts of over $50, which anyone looking at the shirt thinking is $150. No, thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. It's not a Kanye brand
thank you,
white
cigar.
T-shirt.
Yeah. It's Cooligan season 3. So she wrote back like, people said you can't accept gifts in like the hall of whatever. Like,
oh, yeah.
They thought it was like a government building.
Sure.
So that's why I think she wrote anything can happen at LaGuardia when you're stuck at LaGuardia, being like, hey, watch out now. Your boy, you know, your girl's at an airport. Now, nah, you know, accepting gifts and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Sean King retweets it. A bunch of other people tweet it. I think it's up to 10,000 something likes.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, wait, it's going viral. I don't have a SoundCloud. Let me post the Cooligans podcast. So I post it underneath. So if you're listening to this because of that tweet, hey, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. This is a soccer. It's a fun little soccer show.
Yeah,
we make a bunch of dumb jokes.
Bro, we talk about some serious stuff with some soccer players. You're about to hear in the next few weeks.
This is a lot of people were tweeting at us because they were just like, oh, when my worlds collide.
Yeah, that's
a good feeling. I was just like,
some of those people don't even follow us, by the way. I'm like, what worlds, man?
What world exactly?
Hit the button, my guy.
But that is a flattering and very sweet thing. It's just like, almost like this concept of the, like, politics is always in our face, right? Soccer, you have to, like, explore. You got to look for it.
Yeah. Soccer is not something that's easily brought to you.
Exactly. So when you get into soccer Twitter, you know, you're stuck there for life.
Yeah,
right?
Hell yeah. You're official member.
But this, at least for me, it is a nice feeling. Like, look, because as comedians, comedy is not just about one particular thing. So we can, this show, its focus is soccer, but other things can cross paths, and that's how we have fun. That's how we make jokes. But this, like, direct connection to almost a darling liberal, you know, superstar.
Yeah.
It's like a dream come true. Like, I'm incredibly passionate about soccer and the Cooligans and all the stuff that we do. And then,
but we also care about the world.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we worry sometimes.
And to see, and again, like, we posted the stuff the negativity, the MAGA bots that we were talking about.
Oh,
like,
boy. I will tell you of a miracle that happened after it.
Okay.
This is true. This is a miracle. It's never happened before in my life. Patrick Inferna texted me first. He reached out and put, whoa, that's crazy. And I responded, that's what it took for you to text me first. And he wrote like, I felt guilty before, and now I feel even guiltier. You should, bruh.
Yes, Patrick Inferna from Copa 90. Great dude. But the fact that we can, that these like two parts of our lives are like, intertwining in a way that is like the fact that she,
it's like kismet.
It's just the fact that she held up the shirt and was just like, yo, yeah,
she co-signed us. That's what just happened.
That is the black. All right,
yo, how many other soccer podcasts are co-signed by congressmen and congresswomen?
Yeah. Okay,
you find one.
All right.
Link us that too. You got a lot of homework to do.
No, man, but that was truly, truly special. I mean, outside of the fact that I was just, I think my heart stopped for a couple seconds. Outside of that, it was just an incredible thing.
And five minutes later, your girl was a little jelly.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't too happy that I was very happy to meet our congresswoman.
She kept bringing that up.
But that's a part of it. All right. Okay. So it's like she has to understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend, she loves, this is who she loves. She has a huge crush on. She has a huge crush on Topher Grace. You know Topher Grace?
Of course I know. And why? I have a scowl on my face.
So if she meets Topher Grace, all right, like, go.
At the Starbucks he works at?
Don't say that about Topher Grace. He played Spider-Man. Oh, no, he played Venom.
Yeah.
He played Venom in one of the Spider-Man movies.
It was Topher Grace? And what's he done in the last 10 years?
That 70s show.
Yeah,
but he does a good show.
Also, here's what I don't like about Topher. That's a nickname for the name Christopher.
That's right.
Homie. Everyone goes with Chris. Who are you to grab the other side? That makes no sense. Someone calls himself John. You're going to go with, no, I'm Ethan. You can't do that. You're not allowed to go Topher.
I know.
Topher is the name of an animal. I haven't discovered yet, but I know it's the name of an animal.
Bro, I feel like Ethan is like a bunch of kids in Park Slope, Brooklyn are going to start being named that.
Yeah, of course. It's two A's and an emoji of an apple.
I did love that the fact that when you saw her and stopped her and she stopped, like, this is how great of a, she's clearly a politician and she doesn't have to do this, but she stopped like she hadn't, like she, we were friends that she hadn't seen in 10 years.
She was willing to have a conversation.
Totally.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's different from most people.
Yeah. She took out her headphones. Did she have AirPods?
No, she had with the strings, yo.
Oh, okay. So she keeps it
real.
All right. She's not being some elitist walking around AirPods.
She keeps it 100. But people were making fun of me for misspelling 100. It's like, that shit's on purpose. It's in all caps, you idiot. HUNNOD, my guy.
So I thought that moment in itself was just like, she was just like, yo, Alexis, what's good?
Oh, shit. It's the coolest. Damn. Oh, how was the conference?
Where you been at?
I know. Let me see the merch.
It was just a great time, man. And for it wouldn't have happened. We were on a standby flight. We had a later flight.
You want to hear something funny? It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the shutdown.
Thank you, Trump.
Trump does something positive for us.
Okay.
It would not have happened if it wasn't for the goddamn Trump shutdown
and getting McDonald's for a bunch of football players is the greatest things he's ever done.
Imagine we went to visit the Queen of England and she handed us Nando's. I slapped that shit out of her hand. Fuck out of here.
Oh my goodness. We were on a later flight that got delayed. It was an hour later and then got delayed 2 hours. And then I get to the airport and they tell you are on this delayed flight. Then they tell me that I'm on an earlier flight that already took off.
That already took off.
I don't know what Delta's doing.
Yeah. And Delta then, algorithm is so fucked up. We got to meet a politician. And then they throw us on standby.
They throw us on standby on the next flight, which is leaving in an hour, which is sooner than the flight that we were originally going to take.
That would have if it would have taken off on time.
Yeah.
But we meet a friend who works with my sister who's like, hey, get on this other flight. It's about to take off. It's just going to JFK. And we were in this moment of like, are we going to be the standby or not? And the guy's like, hey, I got to wait. We call this guy's name. If he doesn't come up, we only have 2 seats left. And it's us too.
And it's us too.
So we're waiting. Do we switch? Do we not? We decide not to and wait it out. We rolled the dice. Next thing you know, we're just best friends with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
What? This serendipitous.
Dude, we play double dutch with her. And everything. We didn't get to take photos of all that.
You know, we don't like IG story everything.
Yeah,
so
not everything. Some things are just for us. Gully Squad got to see the photo. Got to see the video of me going, and my mother told me not to.
So it was incredible. And maybe the next quest is maybe 2 things. Get Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on this show.
That would be huge.
Talk soccer. And then maybe get her to an NYCFC game.
Uh-oh.
Maybe.
Or maybe get her cracking on a stadium.
All right.
Okay.
You really get? All right. You want to help your constituents?
Yeah. Slide that into one of those agriculture bills. Just slide it right in, you know?
All right. This is how politics works. We know how D.C. works.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on. Are we prepared for it?
All right. So, all right. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll get to our next segment because we were excited to have.
Finally.
Finally. It's been long overdue.
Talking about it forever.
So we'll be joined by Melissa Ortiz. She played in the Colombia national team. She played in NWSL.
But you are all decked out in your nation's colors.
That's right. Okay.
You're wearing a Colombia Biba hat from Talisman Caps. You're wearing a Colombian soccer jersey. And we know you've been Colombian your entire life since this World Cup.
Exactly.
So,
parcera for life. Yeah. All right. Get used to it.
I did not wear my Colombia jersey because I was like, yeah, I feel like it'd be too much. And Christian's like, yo, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'll be enough for all. All of us.
All right, don't worry. The cumbia's coming on in a second. So we'll be right back with Melissa Ortiz right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
And you sponsored this show. Gully Squad, thank you so much to all the people who support this show and want to be involved with it in a much more intimate way.
And also, we talked about the convention in that first segment. That trip was made possible because of Gully Squad.
Exactly.
And if you want to see and hear more content like that, what you could do is join Gully Squad. There's a couple different levels. We know not everyone has a ton of money, but if you want to support the Cooligans, we're trying to do as many cool things as possible, and a lot of it is owed to you guys.
Exactly.
So go to our website, soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. You could join Gully Squad. It would mean the world to us, and you'll find out about that super secret message group that maybe or maybe does not exist.
Exactly. Who knows? In that secret message group that you may or may not exist, you might be able to ask questions that we answer on the show. So,
and you might have heard us answer some of those questions, so maybe it does exist, but also maybe it don't.
Maybe it don't.
You won't know until you join Gully Squad.
So, like, you might have heard, and if you haven't heard yet, our crossover episode with Total Soccer Show, we answer a lot of those questions. So, if you want to be one of those people that has the opportunity to ask, that's where you do it. So join Gully Squad, soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad to join, and join today.
Yeah, baby, we're back!
Yes, this is, like we've mentioned, long overdue. We're so happy to have our next guest on the show.
Absolutely, guys. You most likely follow her on Instagram, okay? She's not just a soccer blogger. She's played for the Colombian national team. Oh, my God, we're so happy to have her in studio. Unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Melissa Ortiz!
Buenas. Come on! Hey.
There she is.
Thank you.
Felt like you had to drop bars.
Yeah, yeah.
No, welcome to the show. Yeah, we've, like I think several people heard about you through Instagram, because I remember seeing you on just doing tricks. That was the main thing. I'm like, she's good at soccer. And I look her up and I'm like, oh, she played for the Colombian national team.
Okay.
You were in, what, Miami or in Florida? Where in Florida?
I was living in West Palm Beach.
You were West Palm Beach.
Yeah. Actually born and raised in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know you're not Cuban, because you would have pronounced it West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach.
Palm Beach. There is like a Cuban community in West Palm Beach. Says West Palm Beach.
Oh yeah, you heard? He moved to West Palm Beach.
I feel like every time when I hear my dad try to speak English, I just get embarrassed. Like, that's why here in West Palm Beach, that's how
it is. You just like, you shrink into your own.
Please stop it, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm about West Palm Beach. It's perfect. I'm like,
that's cerca, that's like Miami.
That's how it should be pronounced. I don't know where everyone's got the S and the T.
It sounds like West Palm Beach.
Which is a much more lit beach than it really is.
The best is on my national team when they used to fly me from Fort Lauderdale to Bogota, my coach would be like, where's your, what am I saying in English? So I'd be like, you know, a donde, a qué aeropuerto? And they'd be like, for Lololel? Yeah. I'm like, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, dude,
for Lololel.
For Lololel. Esto americano.
It sounds like somebody yodeling.
It's a Ricola commercial. For Lololel.
Dude, it should be on the next Spirit commercial.
100%.
So, Melissa,
the reason we brought you here is not just talk about how Latinos pronounce things. We've covered that.
Welcome to the show. You are here with your mate, which is great. Cheers to that. We have a video coming soon with Maxi. That's going to be Maxi Hurute is coming out soon.
He showed us how to have first time you ever had mate.
That's right.
Yeah, it was exciting times.
It was lovely. It but you are here because we are huge fans of just what you do, because I know you did play soccer professionally, and you are now going into sort of the route. A lot of people, former players, tend to do this, right? Because, and some are better at it than others, I may say. Yeah. You're one of the ones that are better at it,
oh
right?
Oh, my God, thank you.
But you.
Jesus, you made me sweat right there.
You never know. Yeah. No, how does it feel to suck? Talk to us.
There are some people. Look, we've met people in soccer. And who played, and some people are like obsessively focused on the game exclusively and never learned to like develop a personality while they were also doing that.
Right.
And you are very personable and fun and really cool to watch. And you do things to not only just entertain, but to kind of like inform. And coming from your perspective, Colombiana, you did live in New York for a little bit, right?
No. My parents actually, when they immigrated from Colombia, lived here.
Oh, okay.
They met here.
Okay, cool.
Fell in love and then moved to Florida.
Got it.
So I have New York roots, like Colombia and New York.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
So. I'm glad you said that your parents fell in love. I'm like, your parents love each other. That's pretty cool.
Right?
Wow, la-di-da.
They're still together.
Wow. All right, that's it. Mom, Dad, you're going to West Palm Beach. I don't know what's in the water out there.
So what has kind of inspired you to go in that route and be at being like the more creative route?
Right. Gosh, I think it came to a point where I'm like, all right, my knees are hurting.
Okay.
So I knew soccer one day wasn't going to go past a certain age. Also, the paycheck sucks. So
sure.
It came to a point where I was like, I need to find something that I want to do and I love and it makes me happy. After I stopped playing soccer, more because of economic reasons and because of lack of respect and all that, that's another story.
Sure.
Yeah. Some of that comes with it.
Yeah. I started working for my family business in West Palm. And as much as I, love my family, have a great business, it just wasn't me because it wasn't in soccer.
Right.
So I wanted to get more involved.
What they do, if you don't mind me asking.
They used to sell as well, but it's more repair BMWs, Mercedes.
Okay.
Like all European cars. It's a really, really cool repair center. High-end, boutique-like in West Palm Beach. Yeah.
We will never need that. Two comedians on a soccer podcast. Because you know how to fix a rented Kia that I don't want to pay a fine for. Yeah.
But they've been in business for 35 years. It's awesome. And run by my parents since then. So it's great. My eldest brother's in it too. So they were like, Melissa, do the marketing. That was my major in college.
Yeah.
But it wasn't me, So I figured out if I really want to do something, I got to do it myself. I probably sent, a resume a week to tons of companies. And it's either a rejection letter or no letter. And I'm thinking, what the... Am I doing
you
wrong?
Could curse here, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a podcast. I'm like, I have an MBA, like Olympic athlete. Like, I'm pretty good at what I do. And I was applying for like soccer marketing jobs or whatever. And it just wasn't happening. I don't know if it was because I was from a smaller school or, the networking thing.
Right,
Just moved back to the USA too. So I was like, well, I listened to some podcast, Gary Vee, obviously. And I was like, I'm going to do it myself. So just one day went like this, like snapped in my head, start the soccer blogger. I was like, I have this saying in my head. If like I'm nervous about taking a step outside of my box, and it's always been like this throughout my soccer career. It's just like, fuck everyone.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Know? That's always just kind of,
if you're afraid
mentality.
Of it, it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
The best idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's always my mentality of something's like, it's out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I started it and started making these videos, and it's been going pretty cool. It's gotten me opportunities to work with large companies, such as like Alcatel, BMW, Casper Mattress. I don't know, like a bunch of random things.
Yeah. One day you step in an elevator with us. I think this was at
All-Star?
MLS Cup.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Yeah. That was All-Star.
And yeah. You're just like you look like a NASCAR. You're head to toe in Alcatel. And I was like, I guess you're working. Either that or I feel like you heavily matched.
Yeah. Or I just really love Alcatel. Yeah.
I believe the first time we ever met was in Atlanta.
It was, yeah.
Previous. You came up to us and said hello, and I looked at you like, who are you? And then you said your name, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Dude, in all your videos, you're like in workout gear doing tricks and pose, and you're like in a full-on dress. I was like, I don't know who you are. Get away from me, lady. And then you said your name. I was like, really? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm just used to you looking like a supreme athlete.
Yeah, true.
It was so funny. I was like, oh, my God. That's right. You have a life. You're not just on Instagram.
Right.
Yeah. You don't just live inside that little square.
So let's talk about your career a little bit and your rise. There's a couple interesting things that I found fascinating about your career, but you just mentioned you're an Olympian. How does a girl living in Florida end up playing for the Colombian national team?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of dual nationals that play.
Yeah,
for,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So my parents are both from Colombia. They immigrated here 40 years ago. And when I was in college, I was scouted by this coach who knew the former Colombian coach.
Wow. Okay.
And so he knew I was a dual citizen. I've been Colombian American since I was little. And so he asked me, do you want to go try out for the Colombian national team? And I was like, hell yeah. But to be honest with you, like being a soccer player was never my goal in life. Like seriously, especially like as a Latina female, there wasn't like that figure to look up to. You had your Mia Hamm growing up in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandi Chastain. But for me, like I had my heart set on being an architect, and I got accepted here to Pratt Institute of Design, and gonna come my senior, like I already knew my senior year I was gonna come to New York, and then it just so happened that I got this scholarship, really great scholarship to play soccer because I had quit travel to become an architect, pretty much.
Okay,
really?
Yeah, I was pretty focused on my studies and everything.
I'm so sorry, soccer stopped you from your dreams.
I'm so sorry, soccer stopped me from being in the studio 25 hours.
You would have hated it.
No crap, I know. Yeah. I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also like, I didn't realize Melissa was such a damn nerd. Yeah. I feel like I want to bully her for some reason.
She said, I have an MBA. I'm like, I got MBA. I got MBA hats, too. I got a couple Knicks hats. I don't understand what's so impressive about it. So impressive.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, my freshman year of college, I realized that I was really talented and I fell back in love with the game. And I was like, wow, if this tryout just comes and I ball it, like, I don't know what could happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know Columbia had a freaking national team when I was in high school.
Yeah, that's
there wasn't
insane.
Like Instagram back then to show us all these like crazy ass highlights uh-huh. you know, yeah, from all over the world. So I did it. I missed my like half of my second semester of college, went down, made the pool, whatever. The next year I played in the U20 Women's
That's
World Cup.
So dope.
And then from there on stayed with the national team. So it's been quite a ride.
What was that experience like with getting there? Were they like with Eta Americana and all
yeah.
this kind of stuff?
I'm absolutely. La Gringa. La Gringa. You know, uh-huh. it's always going to be like that. Even girls now who even write me sometimes like, hey, how can I get to the Colombian national team? Like, I'll be like, do you speak Spanish?
This feels important.
How good is your salsa?
There's test for both.
Yeah.
So like
as soon as you walk in, they're gonna throw on cumbia. You gotta.
You walk in the locker room, you're like,
okay, all right.
She didn't make a coffee while she danced, so you're off the team. Okay. Back to Wet Palm Beach.
So yeah, it was challenging at first. I'm not gonna lie. Like they all were like, "Who is this girl?" And of course, you know, I speak Spanish, but I don't speak like I was born and raised there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Obviously, like anyone that was born and raised outside of their country. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenge.
That's not even like, I think it's hard for people who don't speak Spanish to understand. Even if you speak Spanish every day of your life, if you're not there, you sound a little different to them.
Yeah.
It's like a British guy who moves to the US and 6 months later, his friends in England are like, your accent, you're American. To us, we're like, no, he's not.
Absolutely.
He sounds wild British. But to his friends, it's like you lose a little something.
Yeah.
So it always sticks, you always stick out.
Whenever I go to Dominican Republic, my Spanish, because I learned Spanish in school in New York, like, and so it's very proper. So whenever I go to Dominican Republic, I'm like not using any of the slang words that anybody's using. I'm like, I gotta stop. I gotta tap my cousin. I'm like, what's that mean? What's that mean? I'm like, I speak the language, but this is not the language.
And then you're like, what did I just agree to?
Seriously. All the time. I can imagine there is that pressure. And then on a professional level, like, are your teammates like, almost, do they like get, are they frustrated that there's like an American that could possibly take their spot? Like it's worse for them.
So I would say 10 years ago, yes, because we were all super young. Like got there when I was 19. All the girls were like 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. All young, didn't really know many girls from outside of Colombia.
Yeah.
You know, I think what helped me, and I didn't really have like a huge challenge. Like at first, you have to break some barriers.
Yeah.
But what helped me was my personality, seriously.
Sure.
Like I was like raised in such a Colombian culture where like if they had a song in the locker room, I'd be like, oh yeah. And I would like start dancing and singing. And like, I wasn't scared to dance because I love dancing. Yeah. So like, I just kind of made my way in and made friends really quickly. But I have seen girls like come from the US to Colombia and they've struggled and some have left seriously and left crying. Like, because they couldn't get like fit in, you know, and they don't make it easy for you. That's
well,
fair.
Fans, I think it's so hard for fans to assume that the locker room is a hurdle, and it is. It's a big part of it. It's almost like the politics of being inside a team. It's you have to be the one that people like to some
Absolutely.
Degree.
Absolutely.
And if you're not, you better be amazing.
Yeah. You better be fucking messy.
Yeah. You're an asshole. You better like make it where we're like, all right, we're gonna allow you to be this way.
Seriously.
Where was when you first got there and you did go went to try out? What city in Colombia?
Bogota.
In Bogota. Okay.
Which, by the way, is oh my god, you need like 10 extra lungs.
It really? Was
dope. Oh, yeah, because it's high up. Yeah, it's
high mountain. It's 2,600 meters above sea level. That's like double or triple Denver or something like that.
Okay.
Dog, I would have died on one of those stairs.
I was in Wet Palm Beach.
Yeah. The flattest place on earth. Yo, like I was in San Francisco and one of the sidewalks is stairs. That's how steep it is. Yeah. It's carved into stairs. And I was like, why did all of you stay here? You know, why didn't we leave as a society?
Yeah.
Well, I saw somebody riding a bike. I'm like, how do you ride that thing back home?
Yeah, seriously.
I just go downhill. There'd be a pile of bikes at the bottom of the hill. Yeah, those are all yours now.
I feel like you just say that about anybody riding a bike or doing any exercise. Like, how do you do that?
So you're going to run in that machine and not go anywhere? Seems weird to me, bro. Might want to straighten your life out. So let's talk a little bit about, like, sort of what your career is now. You're sort of like, I hate to use the term influencer, but that's kind of exactly what you are, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're a personality, and which is huge, because I think Christian brought it up before. We meet some people sometimes that are big on Instagram, and they don't always have the personality followed up. Mm-hmm. You're someone who can host and do stuff like that. Why does it seem like it's so important, especially for women in the sport of soccer, mm-hmm. to also have like a popping Instagram account, or else you can't make it a viable career?
Yeah, it's crazy how life has changed so much, especially in the media world. I mean, a few years ago, before Instagram was the thing on your cell phone, I was like, how can I get into the media world? And I started doing internships in Colombia with like different big networks. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that I had the most important tool right here in my hand.
In your pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. And it's important for females because you can literally show the world or your however many followers that this is who you are. You could be yourself, you know, and you're kind of also, you're selling your own self. You're selling your brand, you know, you yourself are your own brand. So as much as companies like you and you could show that you're knowledgeable about whatever you're doing, whatever it's a food blogger, fashion blogger, soccer blogger, whatever.
Yeah.
As long as you're knowledgeable about it, you're good at it, you love it, and you show that you're passionate about it, you'll attract such a good fan base.
Yeah, and
I want to start a food blog. It's gonna be very empty.
Sad.
It's gonna be very sad. It's just gonna be like, just don't eat that if you want to be as thin as me.
Here's another photo of something I didn't eat. Welcome to Christian Belongos. It's all photos he takes from my Instagram account of stuff I did eat.
You guys should start a food blog though.
No, God.
Like
half of it would be amazing.
Real news. I legit like messaged them like 2 weeks ago. My parents were in town. I was like, yo, give me like top 10 pizza places in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, I got you.
Now, shoot. And you did. Yeah. And we went to Don Antonio's and it was the bomb. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you.
So freaking good.
Shouts to Don Antonio.
Alexis, he knows.
You get the fried one? The Montanara?
No.
Okay, that's always the big hurdle for people just to get that. It's incredible, though.
Yeah. You can never impress Alexis. You go to the place that he says, and you're like, oh, you didn't get the thing you should get. Okay, well, what?
I know,
okay.
I think I gave you like four things to get there.
I
said four things.
Yeah,
and I go, look, you're not going to want to order because it's fried and you care about how you look, right? And, you know,
that's where you and I differ.
Right. We had a wedding that weekend. Right. I was like, yo, how am I going to fit this?
Who gives a shit? We got tailors for a reason.
He's like, down four pizzas. We have to go down the aisle.
How many is it of you? Four of you? All right, that's seven pizzas you need to order. But whatever. But the fried one is a big hurdle for people, but it does taste great.
So you're going back to your career. You did play in the Olympics, but you also played in the U20 World Cup.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Did you get a chance to? You didn't get a chance to play in the Senior World Cup, but you did.
I was about to.
And so then this is what happened. You got injured. In training. Before. So I'm curious, we've spoken to a couple of people that, you know, look, it's part of the game and it's incredibly unfortunate, but how did you feel? I know obviously heartbreak without a doubt, but how do you feel then? And how do you feel now about that? What did it teach you?
Oh my God. At the moment I wanted to jump off a cliff. Seriously. Yeah. It was the worst thing I could ever imagine. Like, I don't wish that upon anyone.
Yeah.
Was it an injury that just happened, or did someone like slide tackle you?
No, I mean, it's probably a better thing that I did it myself. Cause if someone would have knocked me out of the World Cup, I would have murdered them. Yeah. I would have murdered you.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I'm like, knife.
Yeah. No. You carry that also.
Yeah. It's New York.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah. So 4 days before the World Cup, we were on our way up. I already made the final roster. We're going to Canada. We stopped in Colorado to play against Costa Rica, and we played against like a few club teams, and it was against one of those damn club teams that we're going over like tactics, just like on and off playing.
Yeah.
And it was within the first 20 minutes that I took a step back. And if you YouTube how David Beckham tore his Achilles, it's legit how I did it.
Okay.
Yeah. He probably just has more views on YouTube.
Yeah.
A couple more.
Yeah.
Your abs are better, by the way.
Thank you. That sucked. I was speechless from there. Like, I had to get surgery right away, flew me to Florida the day that my teammates flew up to Canada. And I was just, it was depressing. Like literally I hit rock bottom. Never knew I could feel anything like that before in my life.
It's just crazy.
So thankfully, like my family, they flew to Colorado, brought me back to Florida, went through the whole rehab thing. And I mean, if it wasn't for my family, I don't know what I've done. Seriously.
Yeah, because you're
so
probably
supportive.
You could probably very easily fall into why me.
Absolutely.
In that moment. And
and you do. You like all these things going through your mind.
Guaranteed it goes through.
Yeah.
In the moment you step back, you knew you were done.
No. And I wasn't done yet. No.
No, you were done for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
You knew as soon as that Achilles.
Yeah. So what happened was I was playing outside left back. I received the ball. I took a step, like I controlled it, took a step. And when I went to go pass it, in that step back, my Achilles just popped, right? But I thought it was a forward coming on and like, I thought she slid tackled me.
Yeah.
So there I was like, I felt that. And then I looked at the ref, I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like that. And he looked at me like I have like eight heads. Yeah.
You're like, give her a red card. Yeah. He gives a red card to your Achilles. Like, I don't know. What am I doing?
And so I realized it was just like me. And then my foot went numb. My like leg felt like this weird ass tingle. And I went to the floor and I'm like, I'm confused. I don't know if I just broke my leg. I don't know what the hell I just did. And as soon as I felt the back of my foot, like there's this huge hole. Sorry if I'm making you throw up, whoever's listening. I knew it right then and there. And like the doctor rushed onto the field. The trainer was like, oh, you'll be good. And I'm like, no, I won't beat you. Like, I just
yeah, tore my mother. Is my mother your trainer?
Yeah. Like, sana, kundarana. Yeah. I'm like, that's just not working today.
Camino un poco, coño. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that happened. And my recovery was like 8 months to a year. But and during the time, it did teach me a lot about life. Like as much as it sucked, it was the only tournament left on my bucket list to ever accomplish, like as a professional soccer player. I started my own business that year. I met my boyfriend who I've been with for 3 years. I actually met him the week I was back in Florida in crutches.
Wow.
I have to say, I met him when I was in my scooter. How sexy is that?
Yeah.
He's
like, yo, who's rolling past me? Beautiful lady rolling. Like, you see me rolling.
Wait, that's the song he literally like tells me. Like when we met, he's like, assume a roller. So that happened. Met him. He moved from Puerto Rico that same week for a job to West Palm Beach.
Nice.
And I was down to West Palm Beach for my
recovery. So it's kismet. You know, it sucks you couldn't go to the World Cup, but it all worked out.
Yep. Okay. But you did get to play in the Olympics.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And what was that experience like?
So 2012 Olympics, first experience for us as we're the first women's national team in history of Colombia to go to the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
So it was
awesome.
Really cool for us. We didn't reach out of our group, unfortunately, but I was like 22. All the girls were like 20, 21, 22. We were super young. Such a great experience though. We got to hang out in the village, like afterwards, like party it up, you know, the whole Olympic experience, like compete, like train your ass off, go compete, cry because you lost, but then like go party and meet a bunch of athletes, like super cool.
Is it as lit in the village as they say it is? Is it as wild?
That's what I didn't get to experience that at that litness.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't. Like, we partied with some divers and some, because there's athletes still in competition when we were there.
And
too.
By divers, are you throwing shade at another soccer team? Or is this...
The Brazilians. Okay,
We played with some divers. The Brazilian women's national team. Okay.
Yeah. Good one.
You don't have to say that. Thank you. Don't ever come to a comedy show. That was fun.
I'm like viewers. I'm like, so we partied it up a few times. It was awesome.
How was the Colombian women's national team received in Colombia? As far as obviously, the men's national team, I'm sure, gets a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
But what was that experience for you as far as I'm sure they showed a lot of love. I'm sure it was very inspirational to a lot of people, especially young girls. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you were in Colombia getting to experience that?
So one of the best experiences I tell everybody was when we got back from the U20 Women's World Cup, we made it to the semis. We lost in the semifinal to Nigeria from one goal. It was rainy and it was a shitty goal.
Yeah.
But we made it to semis and like we were such the underdog. Like no joke, we were such the underdog. And like back then, this is 2010. This is almost 10 years ago. And like women's soccer in Colombia was like, what's that? you know? Yeah. So when we got back to the airport, there was actual like a band. There was like bands there, like playing Huacharaca.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Wow.
This whole like recibimiento that we had going on. It was the coolest experience. We were like, wow, like we actually have somewhat of attention now.
Sometimes it's just knowing people care.
Yeah.
You know? Now, literally, because you guys work so hard.
So hard.
And I think, yeah. I think this is something that comes up a lot with when we talk to women's soccer. It's almost like they always feel like we're working so hard at something. And sometimes people view it as like, oh, it's like adjacent to the sport. And now that it's getting so much more coverage and so much more respect, it's a beautiful thing. So for you to get off the airplane and be like,
that was so cool.
All right. This band cares.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, well, we got off the airplane. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was waiting for us.
She was holding up a sign. She was cool. She's Ubering, apparently. It's very nice of her.
Would have been cool if she had a band with her.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Well, she was listening to something.
There you go.
Never know. 21 Savage, you know, shows up.
So I'm curious about that. I was asking about how it was received, and I know there was a story that I heard about it because you – we're talking about this campaign that you were starting that we'll talk more about. But the cause of it was because there was a Colombian. So he was a president of a Colombian team, Tolima, you said, right? Who made very ridiculous comments. And we, in general, we understand that, you know, women's soccer can be disrespected. We can see it and on Twitter and whatever. And people are like, yo, you're a dinosaur. What's your problem? But this almost took it a little farther. This was like, not only was it dismissive, but it was like, oh, let me also insult women's sports in general.
The gay community.
And it almost sounds like a joke from like the 80s or something. Like it's like, ugh.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I would say farther than that. I feel like people are a little bit more socially conscious.
It just seems like, where did that thought pop in your head?
Yeah. So I'm going to paraphrase because who gives a shit about this guy? But the comment was basically, he was asked about women's soccer in Colombia, and he did say that nobody cares about women's soccer, that it's just, I think he said it makes women lesbians or something along those lines, or something like it's just a bunch of lesbian women.
He said it was a cult of lesbianismo, a lesbian cult.
Yes.
And a bunch of drunks.
Which
and
sounds
a
really
bunch of drunks.
As I have like vodka in my
mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so
I'm going to smell that thermos.
Yeah.
So when he said that, I saw several of your Instagram videos, and you were clearly angry at this, as anyone should be. But what was what did you think about that, and why did that inspire you to do what you then did?
Right. So women's soccer has finally kind of has a name for itself in Colombia. Started the professional league 2 years ago.
That's great.
Now, and I went down the first season because I just wanted to do that. Something we accomplished.
Of course.
But now they are saying like the season's supposed to start now. And now it's not starting for another 6 months because they're saying that, you know, it's not generating revenue. They don't have the sponsors, but it's like they've had 6 months since last season to figure that whole thing out. You know, it's one thing if it doesn't generate revenue. Okay, well then, you know, create a system, at least plan. You've had 6 months to plan, or tell the press, we're going to not do the professional league.
Yeah.
So you have like a bunch of women on standstill on what to do.
Yeah.
So with this guy, that's the reason why they asked him, what do you think about women's soccer? Because he's the president of Tolima, which is the club. So that's why they asked him, what do you think about women's soccer? Blah, blah. And he like blatantly said that, like, it's a lesbian cult. They're a bunch of drunks. And he was referring to a recent video when Atlético Huila, which is a club from Colombia, won Copa Libertadores. So like, for those who don't know, Copa Libertadores, obviously, you know, Boca River, happened.
It's the Champions League of
South
America.
Yeah. Well, they do it for women too. And it's based around like a 3 week tournament. And it's the top of each country.
Okay.
This is the first time in Colombian history that a Colombian team actually won the whole continental tournament.
Sure.
That's great.
Yeah. Huge. Like the biggest news. Well, guess what? The federation doesn't give two shits that like the girls won. You know, they don't even post on their social media like, congratulations, Huila, for winning Copa Libertadores. But of course, like a week later when River won against Boca in the men's Libertadores, because Quintero scored the goal, they posted about Quintero, a player, but not a Colombian team, you know?
Of course, yeah.
So things like that just really like get me heated.
And I mean, look, a lot of people make this argument that women's soccer doesn't create a ton of revenue, but it's cause and effect. Are you promoting it so that it does? There was a time when men's soccer didn't create revenue, and that's still here, and that's still in Colombia, and that's still everywhere. Right. So
But it's also
sometimes
it's
you have to pump that up to help it. You have to put money in to get money back out.
Absolutely. And it's also a social thing. Like, how many opportunities are being created for women in Colombia, for girls to get out of their barrios, to get out of their pueblos, to make, you know, an impact, not for their country, to play in a World Cup? You know, a bunch of my teammates come from the smallest towns in Colombia, and now they are making money. They're getting sponsored. You know, just things like that are just opening so many doors for girls who need the help for their families, you know? So, yeah, this guy said that, and I right away started chatting with a teammate of mine who we see ourselves more as like a voice. You know, me not being in Colombia anymore, being here, me being more mature as well now, not being scared to talk about these issues. Not me, like, not being scared to be kicked off the team anymore. You know, certain things like that, that we had to deal with for years.
You're free now.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, I do the same thing. Like, fuck that. You know, so
I do that even when I shouldn't. There's been times where Christian's like, hey, don't say anything. In my head, I'm like, yo, I should say something. Yo, Christian's right. I should say something.
So, yeah, we started this campaign, and it was with the like three, and we demanded more respect, an apology from him, and, of course, the league, like an answer about the league. So, and it really went, it went viral. It was trending in Colombia, trending in Bogota. We got attention from major politicians in Colombia. Even one of the guy who ran for president at the last elections, Petro, he even tweeted about it, that his daughter's a goalie, blah, 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 information. Yeah, so it got a lot of attention, and this guy finally apologized, I think, like a week ago. Took him like a month.
All right. Huge. I mean, he's still garbage, but yeah, because how sincere is he really, right?
But at least, his whatever, probably wrote it up, tweeted it, whatever.
Of course. But yeah, when the polls show the other way, that's the way they go.
But that's amazing. Because it's
but inspiring that change is all that matters.
Yes, it's inspiring the change. It's inspiring girls and like women in Colombia to speak up, you know. Here you see, you know, all these movements going on, and I see it because I live here. In Colombia, it's just so challenging. There's so much domestic violence, there's so much, you know, machismo. So,
well, that's sort of the dichotomy of like this, like the way people view or perceive Latina women, which is like they're so like headstrong and opinionated, and sometimes they're viewed as sassy and stuff. But it's also, there's a, such a high level of machismo, and there's such a high level of misogyny in Latin America as well that counteracts that. You know, so you get, you get animals like this dude who's like, it's just a cult of, you're like, Jesus.
Well, it's like a, it's a, I talk about in my stand-up act, I talk about it as well. Like, I growing up in Latino just cultures, it's built in, right? That that machismo, and you have to kind of like unlearn it, where there's clearly, I've been with like I remember being a kid, like with my mom while she was like getting harassed on the street. And then I remember like walking down the street with my dad while he was harassing women on the street. It's just like, it's really bad, man. It's like, oh, well who's right? Why? Oh, I know who's
right. You're like, harass mom.
Makes all the sense.
She's right there.
Yo, I was in Cuba a few months ago, and with a taxista, he'd like, he'd literally be with his windows rolled out, and we'd pass by a woman, he'd be like, like just, that every time he's like, oh yeah, mommy, like that. And I'm like,
you know what's funny,
shit.
Like, it's still in my head, it's like, well, it's not that bad, like that's still because you grow up with it and you realize, no, you shouldn't do that. And I guess because I'm married, I don't do it, so I doesn't, I don't view it as like, well, I'm if I did, I'd be a terrible person. It's don't do it.
I don't do it because I'm too shy to do it. I'm like, that's really,
but well, you know, that is what it is. It's like the guy who goes and just walks up to a girl and talks to him. It's a sense of like, well, look, I got the balls to do it.
Yeah. Cause to me, I see dudes like that, and I'm like, are you embarrassed a little bit? Like, that's insane that you would just go harass random people. And like, you don't care how you make them feel. That's like crazy to me.
The weirdest thing is when you see or hear someone honk at a girl walking by.
Yes. Oh,
what do you think is going to happen? Just jump on the hood and rip her clothes off.
Like,
I'm so glad you pressed the button in your car. I got 20 minutes before I got to get to work.
Like, what the? I hate when people honk. Seriously.
I remember I was driving once, and my buddy was in the car next to me, and an attractive girl walked by, and he hit the horn. Like, he just hit the horn.
He reached over.
The death stare this girl gave me was just like, that was enough. I'm like, if I got that, I got that once in my life to know, never do it again.
You're never going back. I'm never going back, baby.
But no, I commend you for it, because I know it's even sometimes people may feel like, oh, you know, I'm just making an Instagram video or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, even that takes some kind of bravery because you still have to take a backlash for that. Like,
yeah, you put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah. You put yourself out there. You're bound to take risks. You're bound to get people to talk shit about you. You're bound, but, you know, you don't listen to those.
Do any of your, like, former teammates or friends like that, they're all very positive about what you're doing? A lot of them asking you your advice?
Yeah, some of them.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my best friends, she started to become an influencer as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I say, go for it. You know,
who more we power met, right? You. Did we meet her at Soccer Roof?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. I forgot her name. Isa.
Isa.
Mm-hmm. Isa. Yeah.
Hey, Isa.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. She lives in Houston now. She moved from Medellin to Houston.
That's right. We did meet her over by the couches. Now I remember.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you people talking about?
Yeah. She's cool. She's awesome. And then a few others. And I think my teammates kind of always knew that I had like the personality to do something in this realm. I don't know. My goal down the future is to hopefully be like a soccer host or something. I don't know. Something in soccer.
Sure, yeah.
Hit up,
I mean, don't you dare take any of our jobs.
Yeah, no. You better not.
Guys, all right. Subscribe to my podcast.
Her podcast is called The Cooligans. I swear it is.
You're good at soccer and you're good at personality. Like, no, you can't have everything.
You have too much. Christian, good on the Columbia National team. Yeah. Hurry up.
All right. Put a wig on.
Got some QP uppies right now. Yeah. I'm not training. I'm really letting the show down.
Yeah. Jesus.
We're absolutely proud of you and commend you.
And it's an honor to finally get you on the show. We've been friends for so long.
Yes, we have a couple questions just to wrap up. But one of them that we have to ask is, because this has been a running theme on the show, and you do have mate right there. Mm-hmm. What is what do you call a straw in Spanish? Answer the question. What do you call it?
Now, hold on a second. Remember,
you got it.
Hold on. No. Wait, before you answer, just remember you live near a bunch of Cubans, okay? Your whole life. Help us out a little bit here.
So, in Colombia, you call him pitillo.
Okay.
But, like, my boyfriend's from Puerto Rico, and he's like, the fuck is a pitillo when he went to Colombia?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, he's like, hola, me regalas un pipillo, like a pipillo. I'm like, did you really just say pee-pee with a yo at the end? I'm like, no.
Por favor. Yeah. Un pipillo. That's not what Puerto Ricans call it, though.
No. Pitillo in Colombia. Yeah. I don't know. I forget what Puerto Ricans
call it. Puerto Ricans call it sorbeto, I believe.
Yes.
But the ones near me called it absorbente. All right, you know what? That's it. It's absorbente. All right, look, we're communists now. Let us have something. You know what I mean?
So, Melissa, we are grateful that you came on the show. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Where can people follow you? What can people look out for? You do a show on Instagram as well. Tell the fans about that.
Yeah, my Instagram is MelissaOrtiz5, and that's where I do my weekend preve, which I usually do most weekends or weekdays prior to the weekend soccer games.
Okay.
Why did I just have trouble saying that?
It's okay.
Anyways,
too much mate.
Yeah. I'm like, energy.
Because your brain is punishing you for not saying absurd things. That's what it is.
Yeah, so I'm MelissaOrtiz5. I do the Soccer Blogger Weekend Preve. I have a website, thesoccerblogger.com, where I post those videos. And I just started writing like kind of bloggy articles around soccer. So I just did one really recently about the NWSL draft.
Cool.
So I'm just going to try to do more blogs often. And then I'll post some training videos like at the soccer field. Maybe some training tips, stuff like that. Everything around soccer lifestyle. Something nice. That makes
well, if you're ever looking
happy.
To play a pickup game, we have a soccer team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
that's right.
We have a soccer team.
Semi-pro. It's
co-ed.
Yeah.
And it would be amazing. So it's a comedian soccer team. It's only comedians, but you have a great personality. And you made me laugh a couple times. I'm like, you're on the team.
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel honored.
We're smiling. So you're on. I do not play.
Okay.
Because I'm smarter than that. I feel like walking, I would pull my ACL. Yeah.
Wait, you just said pull my ACL.
What do you do? You pop it?
You tear it.
You tear it?
You pull a muscle. You tear a ligament.
You think I know any of this? I got plantar fasciitis. I asked doctor, how'd I get it? I can't walk. He's like, well, you're fat. True story. He's like, I hate to tell you this.
If we ever need a crazy ringer on the team, there's an open invitation.
Also, I would love to film that as you just get in position. Stop checking Instagram. What are you doing?
Stop refreshing your Instagram.
Yeah.
But Melissa, you're just do great work and make sure you follow her on Instagram and check out her
work.
MelissaOrtiz5.
Melissa, when we wrap up every show, we usually do a fun little outro. It'll make all the sense in the world when we do it. So just join in.
You'll know exactly what to do when we do it.
Join in.
Do I need to get warmed up for this?
No, you don't. Okay. Just, we yell the Cooligans, and it's like a fun thing.
But you'll know exactly when and how to do it.
Right. So, for Melissa Ortiz, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we? The Cooligans!